Then in terms of the rules, in the absence of the chairperson, the committee must elect one of its members as an acting chairperson. So I'm going to open the floor for nominations. Advocate Bo.
I nominate Maremadi Mbahlele.
Can we have a seconder for Ms. Mthapo? Mr. Swart? Do we have any other nomination? It looks like we've got no further nomination. I call upon Ms. Mthapo to chair the meeting.
Thank you, honorable members and DG and officials. For the record, I'm Remadi Mthapo. Mphahlele is my maiden surname, so my people will fight with me if you refer to me as Mphahlele. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Without any waste of time, and firstly, let me start by apologizing because we were supposed to have started around exactly 10 o'clock. It's now 6 minutes past 10. Our sincere apologies, DG and honorable members, for the delay caused. Without any waste of time, you are most welcome. And may you, for members convenient, may you kindly introduce your delegation. And then from our side, we have Honorable Mayila. Next to him is Honorable Mpumlwana. And next to him is Honorable Matthias. May you kindly raise your hand, Honorable Matthias. Next to him is Honorable Swart. And then at the back, there is Honorable Horn. Yes, we already have three apologies of the chairperson of the committee, Honorable Dr. Monsera, and Honorable Majake, and Honorable Breitenbach, and Honorable Self, who is an alternate of this committee. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning to you and to all members of the committee. I take this opportunity to introduce members of the team. On my immediate right is Ms. Lebo Mphahlele Nhlanhla. She's our Chief Director responsible for strategy, performance and performance monitoring and evaluation. My name is Vusi Madonsela, Director General of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. On my left is Ms. Lorraine Rousseau, the Chief Finance Officer of the Department. To her immediate left is Ms. Onika Muhube Pahlane, Acting Chief Litigation Officer, who's responsible for offices of the State Attorney across the country. To her immediate left is Ms. Kale Pile, Deputy Director General responsible for legislative development. To her left is Advocate Peter Durant. He's the Chief Director in the branch court services. He's standing in for Advocate Skosana, who's the head of that branch, who's unfortunately otherwise engaged today. Behind him is Mr. Romeo Adams, our Deputy Director General responsible for corporate services. That completes the delegation from the department, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And then
Honorable Madam, I forgot. I'm not used to these things. Okay, without any waste of time, we'll allow you, DG, to make a presentation of Q1 of 2017-2018. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, thank you very much indeed for another opportunity to present to the committee our first quarter program performance report against performance targets set out in our annual performance plan. Ms. Mphahlele Nsasa will be walking us through the presentation. The presentation focuses primarily on those targets that are set out in the annual performance plan. But each time we present it, we always make it a point that we inform members of the committee that the annual performance plan represents the apex of the things that the department is doing, but it doesn't represent the totality of the work we do. So we will then present that. What we've also decided to do is to give an update to members of the committee on the state of finances in the department. On the last occasion that we presented the annual performance plan to the committee, we did talk about the financial challenges as they relate to compensation of employees as well as the infrastructure. We thought that it would be remiss of us if we don't take this opportunity to give a status report as to where we are on those matters, especially as they relate to the performance of the department. So the two slides that deal with the status of the state of finances will be presented by the CFO, but the Chief Director, Monitoring and Evaluation and Strategy will then give us the overall presentation of the department as at the 30th of June of this year. Madam.
Thanks, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm going to present the report as is indicated on the contents. I will deal with the performance overview, and I'll touch on Program 1, 2, 3, and 5. Program 4, the NPA, they normally come to this house and report for themselves, so we will deal with those areas that are within the department and not the National Prosecuting Authority. The vision, mission, and principles we have dealt with when we did our APP. We move on then to slide number 3 and 4 we have dealt with before. Those are standard on our presentations. Overview of performance, I'm on slide number 5. For the first quarter, we had 43 indicators that we are reporting on of the 60 that we have. We just want to mention that we are not reporting on all 60. The first quarter is normally a slow start. There are some indicators that we are only beginning to set up, and we deal quite extensively in quarter one with audit issues, etc. So quarter one is normally a slow target. But having said that, 72% of those indicators that we are reporting on, we have achieved. If we look at the programs, program one, we only have one indicator we are actually achieving so far. Program two, we are sitting at 56%, program three, 76, four, the NPA, 68, and five, we are achieving all the targets. The details then come within the report. Now dealing with program one, the objective that we have set ourselves up is to ensure that we increase compliance with prescripts to achieve and sustain an unqualified audit opinion. This is important because without that, we don't get the respect for our reports from our stakeholders. We want to make sure that people can trust what we say about our performance and trust what we say about our finances. So this becomes is one of the objectives that we set ourselves to do. And to ensure that we achieve on that objective, on slide number 8, we have set two targets. The first one is to work with internal audit to identify audit projects where we have identified risks and ensure that we go and test. And our first quarter, we plan to do 35 of those projects, and we achieved 45, so we have done well. And the second indicator talks about resolving significant findings that are raised within our performance and our financial reports. This work hasn't started yet because we are only now going to identify them following the audit and the annual financial report. So it's only happening in the next quarter. And for program one, the expenditure report is indicated on slide number 9. Suffice to say, we have spent 381 million, and it's about 18% of the budget. At this stage, we should be sitting at around 25% or so. The reason why we are sitting lower than we were expecting is because for office accommodation, on the last line there, we haven't paid some of the invoices that are attributable to accommodation charges because of the dispute that we have. So into the second quarter, we expect that spending would increase. Now moving on to program number 2, I'm on slide number 11. The strategic objective for the program, or the purpose of this program, is to facilitate the resolution of criminal and civil cases and family disputes by providing accessible, efficient, and quality administrative support to the courts. And we have set out 6 strategic objectives. The first one talking about supporting the criminal justice system in ensuring that all people in South Africa are in full state. This is part of outcome 3. The second one is an efficient and effective victim and witness support system. The third, enhanced and integrated family law services, increased access to courts to socially marginalized communities, efficient and effective civil justice system, and transformation of the South African legal spaces. I'm now going to get into the indicators of all those objectives. If you check, we are starting with objective number 2. The first one was in program 1, so we follow the numbering in that order. Under the indicators under the first objective talk about the integrated criminal justice system that we need to finalize. It will be finalized by the end of the financial year. We don't have a target yet for that indicator. Suffice to say, there is work that is being done. For example, the document has been taken already through cabinet, through the JCPS in May and June, and that we are comfortable that we are on track with it. Similarly, under 2.2, we are working on the terms of reference. And we are hoping that by the end of the financial year, we would be able to achieve the indicator. Now, moving to indicator 2.3, percentage of criminal cases postponed due to unavailability of court administration staff. We are doing fairly well. Of all the postponements in the court that happened in the quarter, only a tiny amount, 238 cases, were due to unavailability of court administrative staff. And 2.4, the number of case backlog courts converted into permanent courts. There's a need we have identified 17 courts. Consultations are happening. Once those consultations are done, the conversions will happen towards the end of the financial year. But we are comfortable as well, Chair, that we will be on track to finalize it. Now moving into the third strategic objective on the victim and witness support. We continue with a program to adapt our courtrooms for sexual offences. Although we had a target of 4 for the quarter, we have a target of 17 for the year, 4 for the quarter. We've only achieved 2. This was due to delays in the allocation of capital. Like I already said, quarter 1 starts a little slower than we would like to, but we are aware, we are working hard to ensure that the target will be met. We will be catching up. We are comfortable with that. Percentage of child justice preliminary inquiries finalized within 90 days. This is a new indicator that we have set ourselves up. We are doing fairly well on it, in fact better than we were expecting, and we are happy that we are delivering the services to the children as required. Moving to objective number four, enhanced and integrated family law services. This is an indicator that we've had before. Percentage of maintenance matters finalized within 90 days from date of proper service of process. Our target is 50%. We're doing fairly well. You remember we are at 90 courts, and I think this year we're doing much better than we did last year on this. We have better coordination. Work seems to be progressing fairly well. Percentage of family advocate reports filed within 6 months from the date of opening. There again, with the current cases, we're doing fairly well. Our target is 50%. We're already at 59%. We're quite pleased with that performance. Moving on to 4.3, percentage of family law backlog cases finalized. This is where we are not doing as well as we would like to. Some cases, like I said, the current cases we tend to do well, they move fast, but there's a group of cases that are sitting in the backlog that we really would like to address. We thought by the first quarter we'd be able to do 55% of those cases that are lingering from other financial years. We're only sitting at 13%, sorry. We are concerned because this work would require a little bit more capacity than we were envisaging, and I think our CFO will talk will talk in detail around our capacity issues, but this is one area where if we had better capacity, we would be able to try and address all those backlog cases that we are still sitting with. Now moving to strategic objective number five, we're talking about access to courts. 5.1, number of provinces where magisterial districts are aligned with municipal boundaries. Our target for the year is two of those. We're already working on three. We're working on the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape for the rollout. And we are happy that work is already starting. The regional coordinating committees are sitting, and there are workshops that are taking place to ensure that we move with speed. We are satisfied with it. Once the regionalization is decided upon, then a gazette will be done. So a gazette will be done towards the end of the year. So we also not concerned around 5.1. We should do well by the end of the year. 5.2, number of court buildings completed. We have set ourselves up to complete the Port Shepstone Magistrate Court and the Mpumalanga High Court. The Port Shepstone Magistrate Court is progressing well. We are about 82% done, and we're hoping that it will be finalized soon. We have put there 30 August 2017, but it might take a little longer, but it's almost there. The Mpumalanga High Court is almost complete, but the project has been stalled due to variation orders. But by the end of the financial year, we're comfortable that we would have received the certificate of occupation for both of them, that the target will be met. 5.3, number of divisions of high courts aligned with provincial boundaries. Each and every year we ensure that we don't only rationalize the municipal boundaries with the provincial boundaries, but that we also get the provincial boundaries aligned with the high courts. And we are working now with Gauteng and Mpumalanga, and we are confident that by the end of the financial year, those two would have their high courts well aligned with their provincial boundaries. We're happy with the progress. Moving on to strategic objective six, around the civil justice system. 6.1, slide number 20, number of courts providing court annexed mediation. This is a new indicator for us. It's off to a slow start. We should have done 7 courts by now. We haven't done 8. However, we have identified sites. For example, in Gauteng 10, Limpopo 40, Northwest 10, and now I'm told that in Mpumalanga we also have identified sites there as well, so that we can get the courts finalized. So work is happening. The regional offices have identified people to be trained, and sites will be established. In addition, the rules board will be undertaking work to ensure that the rules are changed to accommodate court annexed mediation. And the rules board, we expect that they will be finalizing those rules by around the first week in October. And from there, once that is done, we will be advertising for candidates for 1st October who will be mediators, and we are hoping that you know, soon, towards the end of the year, we'll be making progress under 6.1. Then under 6.2, this is an indicator that we've had before around taxations. You remember in the past we had major problems with service not happening under taxation. We set a standard that taxation must be completed within 14 days within our court. We are happy that that is still progressing. Then 7.1, this is a new indicator. We have set up a few indicators that are in line with our transformational agenda that we talked about at the beginning of this year, that we really want to put in policies and legislation that will transform the face of our justice system. And this is where those take effect in our APP. Under 7.1, policies that forms the basis for the lower court bill, we expect that the minister would have that approved by 28 of February 2018. Everything is progressing well. There's a team that has been set up. There are people working tirelessly to ensure that we meet this target for the lower court bill. And moving on to the next slide, 7.2, policy on the design of the judicial and court administration models must be finalized. Although we are saying that this indicator needs to be reviewed, and we will send a review to the minister as soon as possible, where it is already happening, the review will be on the quarterly target, but not on the annual target of submission to cabinet by 28 February. So, but within the quarters, we believe that something needs to be fixed there. But suffice to say, there's a cabinet memo that's being prepared to serve in September around those reports or around the report of the assessment. We're happy with that. And we're happy to also say that there is a team that is working hard to ensure that by the 28th of February, we have the judicial and court administration model draft submitted to cabinet. Moving on to 7.3, this is about the policy for the overhaul of the South African legal system. We're also talking about a draft cabinet memo that is being prepared. And again, we are confident that with the team that has been set up, we should be able to finalize that by 28 February 2018. And program two, the expenditure trends on slide number 24. We are doing fairly well at 24%. We have already spent 1.1 billion against the budget allocation of 6 billion. The underspending that we would have spent more. However, we have delays in processing IGT and DPW payments due to submission of invoices. But the CFO will talk more about our infrastructure issues at the end of our presentation now. Moving on to program number three, I'm not going to go through the strategic objectives. These are the ones that we normally had. We've had these in the past on slide 26. I'm not going to repeat them. I'll just touch on the performance. Within the master's area, we have performance standards, turnaround times that we are expected to meet as a department to ensure that work happens. The first one, we talk about deceased estates, and during the quarter, we sent letters of appointment. There were 34,783 letters of appointment that we've done, and 33,438 of those were issued within our standard. And our target is to have 92% of those done within time. We've got 96, so we are pleased with that. And 8.2, the liquidation and distribution accounts for large estates. Again, a 94% performance against 93. We are pleased with that. Slide number 28, Guardians Fund, where we pay out money for children. This has to be done within 40 days, and 92% of those were done within 40 days. Similarly, percentage of the certificates of appointments issued for bankruptcy, those need to be done within 10 days for a vast majority, and yes, 93% of them were done within 10 days against a target of 91%. Slide number 29, continuing still with the masters. On the back, on the liquidation and distribution accounts for bankruptcy, we're also doing fairly well. Trusts continue to have problems with trust. Each and every year, we just about make the target. The target is 90%. We have not reduced that target, but we want to really ensure that that work happens and happens on time. We just missed the target by 1%. We believe that by the end of the financial year, we would be working towards 90% again. It's not easy, but we ensure that we put everything in place to get to the target. And 8.7, we talk about the paperless estate administration system. This is a system that ensures that everything that we do in the masters must be scanned and get onto the system. This makes us more efficient, and this makes us be able to store and save documents correctly. And we are pleased that almost all of them, as you see, 99% of the new deceased estates are registered on the system. Very pleased with that. And then moving on to state litigation services, 9.1, number of litigation cases settled through mediation. We know that mediation helps us to save costs of litigation. Within this quarter, we thought we'd do six. We have only done one. However, we are working. There is a plan in place to ensure that this will continue. There's a team in place within the state attorneys that ensures that all our ideas around getting every case mediated as a first step happens. So there is work that is happening. We are aware of that shortfall we are working on. As for the value of briefs allocated to PDIs, it's an ongoing target. We must have 80% of those done. We are happy that those continue to be done. Continue still with the state litigation services. Under 9.3, number of high court matters presented in court. Again, we believe that if the state attorneys represent matters in court, we are going to start saving on legal costs. In this quarter, we targeted 15. We haven't done one yet, but the chief litigation or the acting chief litigation officer is working hard to ensure that we move with speed. They are aware. They are working on it. By the end of the financial year, we still have the target of 60. We will be working to ensure that happens. Success rate in medical negligence, unlawful arrest, immigration and labor-related matters. We done fairly well in the quarter. We thought 50% was realistic, but we're doing fairly well. We are hoping that we'll be able to sustain that performance still towards the end of the year. 9.5% of briefs allocated to female counsel, 40% is our target. We're sitting at 37%. We hope we will improve and surpass that number so that by the end of the financial year we get to the 40% target. But we are doing fairly well. We are not concerned about 9.5 at this stage. Percentage reduction in costs paid by the state attorney. We have indicated a dash there. We are dealing with some data challenges. We have identified, this is a new indicator as well, that through the state attorney offices that we have to get a standard way of reporting, they've got to be checked properly, etc. This being a new indicator, we've identified a few challenges, we are dealing with them. I can report that as we speak, we have made tremendous progress, and in fact, for the second quarter, we will be able to present a value there. 10.1 to 10.3, we do not have any targets set. However, for 10.1, the legal practice regulations, as indicated there, we were supposed to have those regulations done by the 1st of July. We did not meet that target as it stands there. The extension has been granted by the Minister for the 31st of October. This is due to the discussions that have been taking place, and the negotiations is not an easy environment, that one. So we are not going to be able, we did not meet the 31st July target that we were going to report in the second quarter, but we are now going to be targeting the 31st of October for those regulations. Appointment of council members, if the regulations are going to go to October, chances are we might have to postpone also the appointment of members. We will see how the discussions are. But like I already said, this area of is not an easy area to negotiate. And our target to transfer all the assets from Law Society's 28 February might also be affected. So this indicator, at 10, we are working very hard to ensure that things move, but we are also constrained by the environment. Moving on to 11, where we talk about legal advisory services. This is one of our sustained agenda issues where we deal with the Chief State Law Advisors services. We have set time frames for the performance, and starting with 11.1 for legal opinions and subordinate law, our target is to do 73% of them within 40 days. We normally surpass that target. Similarly, preliminary opinions on draft bills, we have done all of them for the quarter within 40 days. Moving on to slide number 34, where we talk about bills and proclamations or the legal opinions thereof, we have done almost all of them within 40 days, and this we're talking about 49 bills. So we've done fairly well. International agreements as well, we have done 51 in total, and all of them were done within 30 days. Slide number 35, percentage of draft bills approved by cabinet. Again, those bills we do within 40 days, all of them were done within 40 days. And similarly, the translations where the bills must be translated in different languages, those translations must be done within 55 days, 86% of those were. And we're talking about the 86 translations for the quarter. Slide number 36, increased compliance with international treaty obligations. Each and every year we identify a number of country reports that must be done by the department. So under 12.1, we don't have any reports that are due for the quarter, but in our word quarterly report, because we have provided the House with the word version of the report, there's a list of those reports that we are working with for the year. But for the quarter, there was nothing that we were working on. 12.2, percentage of valid requests for extradition and mutual assistance. When we do receive those cases, we must ensure that our part of the work must be done within 25 days. Unfortunately, we targeted that 91% of our work must be done within 25 days, only 75% was. This was also an issue last year. We are working with the relevant chief directorate to ensure that we at least meet the target this year. And we are working on it. Memoranda of understanding on mutual legal assistance. This indicator is also forms part of our other outcomes in government. We targeted 2 for the year, and we do not. There's no target set for it for 12.3. The details again are in our quarterly report. Slide number 38. It's about our legislative program. The legislative program has been submitted to the Leader of Government Business, and we are working at ensuring that we finalize it according to our plan. And the number of legislative instruments submitted to the minister, the target was 6, we got to 9. Again, the detail is in the plan, it's in the detailed report. And the research papers, we targeted 15 for the year, we've done 3. We have targeted 3 for the quarter, and we have performed 8. And slide number 39, court rules. We have targeted to change five court rules through the rules board, we have achieved that. Socioeconomic impact assessment is one of those new areas that, that we were requested to do as government, that all the legislation, etc., must go through the system. We are glad that we have now finally this work has taken root, and we have now completed 12 against the target of 5. Still on program 3, still strategic objective 14, around promotion of broad-based knowledge on and support for values of equality. This work we do jointly with the Foundation for Human Rights. We only do receive reports in detail twice a year, because the Foundation for Human Rights itself has a monitoring and evaluation team that's in place, and we are comfortable that they are following up on that work. So all for 14.1 to 14.5, we're not reporting on, but we are comfortable that the progress would be made. Going to 14.6, number of sustained and visible anti-xenophobia campaigns, that's what we do as a department ourselves, and we continue to raise awareness against the NAB and against xenophobia and etc. So one initiative was completed for the quarter. Within this program, expenditure trends, we're sitting at 22%, and like I already indicated, normally in the first quarter we should be around the 20s. We're fairly satisfied with that. Constitutional development is the 13% is normally due to the fact that there's a lot of posts within that area that have not been filled. And then the last program, auxiliary and associated services, this is where our IJS program sits. This program also houses programs like Legal in South Africa, Special Investigation Unit, etc. But within our own department, we talk about the IJS. So the indicators then for IJS, 18.1, number of government departments and entities exchanging information electronically. Although we put it as green as 5, it's mainly a baseline. So it means they must continue doing the 5 into the first quarter, but by the end of the financial year, they must up that number to the 7. And the details of those are already in the website. Similarly, the number of KPIs that are being uploaded, they continue to upload, and we check and double check ourselves as a unit. They are still collecting and uploading data on 18 indicators. Towards the end of the year, they should have updated by 22. We are comfortable that would be done. All the projects are progressing well to ensure that additional indicators are put up. There's a new test lab that has been set up to ensure that proper testing happens. We didn't have that before, and our target was to do 3 test labs. Already that target for the year, that target has been achieved. We are happy with that. Expenditure on the from our side, from Justice Modernization that is sitting under that program, is 15%. Although most of those were invoices from the last financial year, we are comfortable that we will catch up with our spending, because our projects are going on as planned. So in conclusion, we've achieved 22% of the targets. As I already indicated, it's the first quarter. We are not where we would like to be, but we are comfortable that going forward we should be able to achieve most of those targets that we have set ourselves. On a monthly basis, we meet as EXCO, we identify issues, we put projects together where they are needed to ensure that we address all the underperformance. Thanks, Chair. I'm going to now hand over to Ms. Rousseau to talk about those two issues, the financial issues that we are dealing with. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. I think we took the committee into our confidence at the beginning of the financial year when we spoke about the challenge on the compensation budget due to the capping of the compensation budget as a government indicator. And we also indicated the cuts that has been made on infrastructure, the implications thereof. We just thought that it would be good to keep you, to update you on the progress that we've made in this regard and also the implications thereof, and yes, and how far we've negotiated also with Treasury. If you go to the slide on compensation, we explained to you that's quite a busy slide, but we spoke about this before, that the challenge with the capping of the budget is that the budget has been capped at July 2015 levels, whereas increases that are negotiated are well above what those percentages allow for. And if you have no growth in your compensation budget, it actually implies that our budget was cut by about 500 million rand for the current financial year. And although Treasury gave us a year in advance an indication that they would be doing so, the challenge is that there's no tool in place to assist you. And the other challenge is that as government, we need to be consistent in our application of how we introduce these cuts and how we bring about how we mediate.
Okay. My apology for interruption. Members, do you have the said document she's talking about? You have. Honorable Maila doesn't have.
Sorry, let me put the slides.
The slides. Honorable Maila, yeah.
This has not been shared, ma'am. This is just additional information. Yes, the information was shared previously. This is just an update thing. So, if you look at the second bullet then to speak to specifically the slide, in January 2016, National Treasury implemented budget cuts on the department's baseline of 1.1 billion rand over the MTF. It was, I must say, it's over the MTF. But the compensation of employees in particular experienced a cut of 429 million and 671 million in 2017 and 18 and 2018-19 respectively. And the challenge for us then is to respond to that requirement, to reduce the employees in relation to the same to the available budget, whilst we are aware that there were higher cost of living adjustments, and you know that also that there was a housing allowance that was increased and also medical aid allowances that were increased. That gives you a much higher increase than what is allowed for in the budget. So to respond to the set ceilings, what we did then was to say we need to review how we allocate our resources. And an HR post review committee was then set up. And what we've done then, just to indicate the figures to you, is at that stage in February, there were about, there was 1,700 vacant posts in the department. And the committee then considered 1,145 posts for determination of the critical nature of those posts. So of the 1,145 posts, only 636 posts were then actually considered to be critical, and those posts are going to be are being advertised now at the moment and being filled. But it means actually then that from the vacancies, from we only filled about 37% of vacancies are we are currently filling. And that is, but the decision taken then was specifically to address service delivery and those specific units so that we focus on service delivery and so that we do not delay in implementation of our mandate. So that it's an effort to balance service delivery with the available budget. And the challenge for us, we still believe we are having it under control, but the NPA, that the budget falls under us, but I'm sure they will also report to you, they are having severe challenges with regard to their own budget. We are predicting a shortfall of 100 million rand on our budget, compensation budget, whereas the NPA is predicting a 57 million shortfall on the compensation budget. That means we must find 157 million as a vote to actually be able to address the compensation requirements in the budget. We have spoken to the National Treasury, and they have indicated that they will support to waive the cap that was placed on compensation, but that they do not have funding to provide us, to assist us, and therefore we would have to move operational budget to compensation, which has also its own implications. This isn't something that is just a Department of Justice challenge. I think all the portfolio committees will hear similar stories from all other departments, and especially in the cluster, we are aware that it's a cluster challenge as well, because we are very much reliant on employees. We are a service delivery or service. We provide services and professional services, and therefore you require people to implement those services or to deliver those services. The instruction from National Treasury is that all departments must continue to show a trend of a reduction in headcount so that the government and the country can achieve its objective in the end to stay within the budget given the severe economic challenges that we are experiencing. And I think that is maybe the first point that I would wanted to add or to what was already said. Maybe then just to speak about the capital infrastructure challenges. In terms of the capital infrastructure challenges, you are aware and you've intervened on our behalf as a committee with DPW and IDT in the past because of the fact that we did not spend on our capital infrastructure budget in the past. This has now come back, the sins of the past has caught up with us to the extent that this year, for the very first time, the budgets that are currently, the projects that are currently under construction will exceed the budget that we have available after the budget cuts that has been effected to infrastructure. So in that regard, we are working together with all the other departments in the cluster, and we are actually, that is why Kusana is not here today. They are having an infrastructure workshop to indicate how we will resolve this challenge. So there you can see then, at the end of 2016-17 financial year, we had 63 projects which were active, and contractors were on site. So during March 2017, DPW has requested us for 890 million rand for all projects that it intended to run on behalf of the department. And of these projects, 59 were active projects, while 27 were projects that were at tendering stage. The IDT had four projects where implementation was continuing with total projects budgeted at 795 million. The two implementing agency budget requests amounted then to 1.6 billion, whereas we only have 769 million rand. In order to reduce the shortfall, we've confirmed that we will only continue with projects that's currently underway. We will not start new projects, it only when projects are on site, where contractors are on site, we are continuing. But even when we do that, we are, will in the end have a shortfall of 628 million rand on this budget. And this is a challenge that we are now trying to resolve between the in the cluster, seeing how we can help each other out. We just thought that this is important that you be aware of the challenges. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Rousseau. Did you want to add something?
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to say that that concludes our presentation for now. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Honourable members, you may make comments on the presentation. And thank you, DG, for bringing four very capable women. I don't know, maybe because it's August Women's Month, but I know as usual, Department of Justice is ahead of events. Yes. But I've got a very personally, I've got a very serious concern on budget on shortfall on cost infrastructure projects. It's got a very negative impact on access to justice. And again, what I would like to know is how far, is this also include the, no, the Zanini's Correctional Service, emergency apology. Okay, honorable members, over to you. I recognize Honorable Maila. Honourable Swart to follow. Oh, Honourable Horn. Honourable Prof. Msimang. Honourable Bumlana. Then Honourable Matthias will be last.
Thanks very much, Chair. And thanks to the department for the presentations. Thank you, DG and the team. Chair, I feel, let me say I'm pleased that from the word go, the department seems to be ready to bring about good audit outcomes. Although we are not there yet, but I think you have started on a high note, and that is commendable. There is an indication that there was underspending because of disputes regarding office accommodation. I just wanted to check what those disputes entail, and can't we see maybe those disputes recurring? What is being done to make sure that the disputes are done and dusted. There is a cry, especially from legal practitioners from who are previously disadvantaged with regard to the skewed patterns of the briefing patterns. Because the cry is that the briefing patterns display a racial and a gender inequality. I would like to know what the department is doing to ensure that this cry is actually remedied. Just some few days ago, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation granted indemnity to the First Lady of Zimbabwe. I would like to know if the Department of Justice was also party to the granting of that indemnity. Honourable Mumla, can I be protected from my learned friend. So it's not only the looks and the comments on the side.
Okay, please, you are protected.
I do look handsome, don't worry.
Now, also, according to the department, if this indemnity can be subjected to a judicial review, according to the department, will it stand the test of time? The other issue is, when such matters crop out to the ordinary people out there, it appears as if access to justice is biased towards
allow him to finish, then we'll rule on that. Let's allow him, because he has just put, it's not even a comma or an any exclamation. Let's allow him. Honorable Maila?
He's my friend anyway. When such matters crop out to ordinary people, it appears as if access to justice is biased towards Now, what is the department doing to ensure that society is educated on such matters? So that when these things crop out, we don't have unnecessary outcries. But now just one last thing. Suppose the indemnity is fine. There is nothing wrong with the indemnity. What happens to the victim in case the indemnity stands the test of time? Thanks very much, Chairperson. Those were my issues.
Okay, let's go to the, I'll make a general comment after all members are left after.
Honorable Mbumlana, I thought maybe during when it's time for you to make your question, then you can say whatever you like to say. Then after that, after members, all members shall have made comments or questions, then we'll make a general observation, then give DG and his entourage officials time to respond. Honorable Swart, then Honorable Hon, Msimang Hon, and then Honorable Bumlana, then Honorable Matthias.
Thank you, Chair. I think the issue of the budgeting is a big concern. We expect you to do certain work and the budgets are being cut, and I always maintain this view. But the problem is going forward that it's going to get worse. We now see that it's estimated that the national fiscus will collect 50 billion rand less revenue. And so it's a broader concern that we need to accept in Parliament. When we look at this, why are we having such low economic growth? What is the cause? And from our perspective, we know there's a lot of uncertainty. We know what's going on in government that is resulting in low economic growth. I have put it in Parliament already. That's a separate issue. But the challenge is it seems to be going forward. And so we need to understand that you're presenting this report with severe economic, with due doing the best that you can with the funds available. Having said that, I'd like you to update us on the progress with the High Courts in Limpopo and Mpumalanga. I remember you indicated, and that is the actual, during the earlier in the year when the budget vote was presented, there were a lot of concerns that the courts would not be able, whilst the infrastructure is there, the courts would not be able to be operational. And the NPA, I understand as well, have got concerns about funding, staffing requirements. If you could give us an indication of the progress with that. Then, as far as the state attorney is concerned, what is the progress with the appointment of a permanent solicitor general? And are the problems at the state attorney, have they been addressed? We noticed over the years a number of court judgments against the state attorney. The third issue relates to one of your targets is the appearance, if I remember it correctly, of state attorneys in the High Court. Now, I am very sympathetic because I understand state attorneys have got massive volumes of work. And whilst that is a target, I would be very sympathetic to the department's position because I know the work that state attorneys do, and then to expect them to also litigate in the High Court and to appear themselves, I think that is what the target is, unless I understand it incorrectly, might be to a degree unfair, unless it is purely to appear for motion court or get default judgments, but to actually run a High Court trial could be quite challenging for a state attorney, and it actually then inhibits the department's program of briefing previously disadvantaged advocates. So I think one needs to look at that one particular target very carefully. The next issue relates to what Mr. Maile has briefly referred to, and the whole issue of the immunity granted to the First Lady of Zimbabwe. And I think the challenge is the message
someone
it does send out.
Excuse me, Honorable One. Someone's cell phone is ringing.
Maybe someone's got a phone ringing.
Prof, I think it's yours.
Thank
yes.
You. He's not very young.
I know the ringtone of your cell phone.
It's a lovely, it brings a bit of joy to the committee. But DG, just to understand that, you see, the process with that is, and I'm obviously awaiting your briefing on that, to what degree the department or legal advisors, I'm sure they were involved in that, and it seems quite similar to the Al-Bashir matter. And one doesn't want to have that decision struck down again. And I understand it's a very sensitive decision. It was it's a very difficult decision. But the challenge for you as a department now is your state attorney is going to have to, if there is a review application, and all indications are, the state attorney is going to be involved. You're going to have to brief counsel on behalf of foreign relations, the minister that took the decision. And again, it's costs. And whilst you are trying to inhibit your costs, I think a question would be, would you at any stage take advice to brief the minister should there be litigation on the success or failure of a review application to avoid, again, a court finding against the government, as we've seen continuously, or in a number of cases, let me rather put it that way, in a number of cases. I also want to, I see that, just on that aspect, I see that the state attorney has been quite successful in a number of the cases that you have been doing. Is that, would those cases would be on behalf of the department, or is it across the board? I think there's a target, I think it was 69 out of, there was quite a number of successes there. It was 69 out of 71 or something like that, but it was a good success rate. But this is an indication of where you've got a client department, which will be foreign relations, on this issue. They come to you as justice and they say the state attorney must be briefed because there's a review application on that decision. You then are in a position, you brief the advocates, you brief the senior counsel, and this is the challenge that the department must have. Then that foreign affairs department says, no, we must litigate. And you might say, but there's no prospect of success on senior counsel's view. How do you manage that tension? where you, as the department, know you're going to have to incur costs. Yes, you recover those costs later, but the state attorney's got to do all the work. You brief counsel. For me, it's very clear as a lawyer that there's very little prospect of success to defend a review application on this decision. I understand it's a political decision that was taken. It's a matter of law. I think there's very little prospects of success. But maybe you could address that issue, Mr. Maile, and then the principle of how, going forward, you reduce litigation costs as the department with the state attorney, where you're advising departments you don't have a prospect of success, where they insist you must continue with a case that has got no hope of success. Can I then just ask you on the funding of the information regulator, what is happening in that regard? Because the information regulator is supposed to be set up and running, and we understand that there's 25 million set aside for 17-18 and 27 million in 18-19. And I understand there's a problem with the setting up of the structure, and that office is still not functional, and there seems to be something between the structure of the department and with National Treasury, there seems to be some hold-up. And obviously we would like to see that office continuing as quickly as possible. Chair, the NPA results, I think, are very disappointing, but we'll have to take that up with them. And I'm appreciative that you're saying they also have financial constraints. But their results are, from what we see on some of these some of these documents are very disappointing. So, Chair, just with those few comments, thank you for allowing me. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Next in line, Honorable Hong.
Thank you, Madam Acting Chair. First of all, allow me to say that I think one must, based on the presentation we've received, be appreciative and impressed by the fact that quite a number of the majority of targets have been met and exceeded by the department. However, Madam Acting Chair, in respect of a few matters, unfortunately, and I think it has been canvassed with the department when the new APP was presented previously to us as a committee, I think if we must have a bird's eye view of the first quarter performance, the difficulty we as a committee must have is that we really not better off in knowing how our courts are performing. We know that the explanations are on record as to a number of indicators and targets that's been removed from the department's performance plan based on the reason that they're not in sole control of that. But now I think we as a committee must say, now we sit with this challenge, where does the buck stop? Because at this stage I think we know the NPA is still coming, but we also know from experience they sort of have the very same explanation, and they've also removed certain indicators. So this is a comment, and I would, if there's a response, it would be good, but I think it is a bit of a frustration that overall of one of the core functions of the department, we don't really know what's going on. Having said that, Madam Acting Chair, there's just a few issues I would like to raise for specific responses. On slide 34, the department reported that they've actually performed quite well in respect of what they call suggested bills, regulations, and proclamations. The question I have now, given the fact that 98% performance is there, who suggests these specific bills and regulations? And to be more specific, we as this committee finalized our deliberations on the Maintenance Amendment Bill, and it was passed by Parliament nearly 2 years ago already. which colleagues will remember would have enabled, for example, the so-called blacklisting of maintenance defaulters and better provisions in dealing with these defaulters. But as we sit here, the enabling regulations have still not come to Parliament. It's been raised previously with the department and during the budget debates. And the sad reality is that whilst I think this was by and large a good bill, which should enable improved improvements in the maintenance system, 2 years down the line, we're still nowhere in implementing the Act. And therefore, for example, the good performance regarding the issuing of regulations must be questioned. So a specific response in that regard would be welcomed. Then, Madam Acting Chair, regarding the sexual offences courts adapted along the model, I think some apprehension as to the progress or the lack thereof should be expressed by the committee. We know that there's been maybe a hesitation on the part of the department, also linked to the previous bill serving before Parliament, but ultimately I think with also the NGOs that appeared here, I think the message we at Parliament sent out is that the dedicated sexual offences model is here to stay. And while the presentation said we are addressing the situation, I think a bit more detail will enable us to be sure that this is not going to be an area where underperformance become the norm. Then, Madam Acting Chair, in respect of the target regarding the judicially led or the court administration model, which in the presentation was identified as something where the quarterly targets must be amended, this was also something we raised at the time when the APP was presented. Because it still seems that two different issues are conflated in this target. On the one hand, we all know that the outstanding issue of who will be in the medium and long term responsible for the administration of our courts is an issue, and I understand that the policy government stance is on its way regarding that. But the other issue, which is really not linked to that at all, is the study that was conducted with taxpayers' money in excess of 10 million rand, I think it was nearly 12 million rand, regarding the socio-economic impact of our two highest courts' decisions on socio-economic transformation. And for some or other reason, even though we've had a briefing regarding that study, the last info we had was that it was sitting with Cabinet. The department has never tabled that report at Parliament. And once again, I think the two issues cannot be conflated in one target or indicator. And the question must be asked again, when will Parliament, on behalf of the people who paid for the study, ultimately see
which one,
the findings.
Fort Hare one?
Sorry?
Which one? The Fort Hare one?
Yes, yes. Then, Madam Acting Chair, regarding the predicted shortfall, I first of all want to say that I really welcome the honesty of the department in coming to report here. Then I have one question. There was I hope it's a typo. It was stated that this post-review committee ultimately concluded that there will have to be a 50% reduction in contract positions. People underutilized will have to be moved to critical positions. And then it's stated that when people in critical positions, that when employment there is terminated, those positions will not be filled. And I hope that means non-filling of non-critical posts. Okay, Mrs. Rousseau already indicated that it is indeed a typo. Then that issue is indeed addressed. The issue then I would like some information on it is that when the departments say money will have to be moved from the operational budget to the compensation budget, whether they at this stage are able to give us an indication on where is this money sitting in the operational budget and what impact it will have on service delivery. I think we are appreciative of their stance that they don't want a service delivery to suffer, but it's easier said than done. Then I think in this document, no, thank you. That at this stage, everything. Thank you, Madam.
Okay, let's do land in Sofimziman, then Kumulana, then
thank you very much, Honorable. I would like to add my voice to those who are commending the department for this report. It was very pleasing to hear the chief director saying on this score the department has done very well, on this score the department has done very well. It's always a pleasure for us to listen to good news reports. I have a few questions. Others have covered me. For instance, I was covered by Honorable Swart when he mentioned a very high litigation cost. They spoke specifically, but I want to mention these costs generally. I really don't know whether the department can do anything or can talk to council in particular, because their costs are forbiddingly high. Not only are they too much for the pocket of an individual litigant, but even for some state organs. On the ground, you find a number of municipalities withdrawing cases against cases of corruption, for instance, against their officials, because to pursue these in court is just too much for their budgets. So I feel then this is counterproductive and is not helping our system of justice. Although I've said in a number of instances the department has done well, the outputs have by far exceeded the targets, I was concerned when it came to slide 16. This is a slide where the target is 50%, but the output is only 13%. And the statement is that it is a matter of capacity. I would like to know whether posts have not been created because of budget cuts, or posts are there but they have not been filled. In many instances you find that there are vacancies in the department. Vacancies when there is so much unemployment and you just wonder why they are not filled. 13% is to me very concerning. Then we look at slide 11, where again, the report says the department is doing well. But this is about our administration of justice. This is trying to answer to the objective that people should feel safe in the country. I don't know whether it's facts or perception, but generally the feeling out there on the ground is that we are not safe. This is a woman's month, and I can't tell you how many cases we have been reading about of women being assaulted. Not only that they fear that they are victims, they also fear of the treatment they get when they go to our justice agencies to report their cases. So I really would like the department to comment on this, because as I say, it might just be perceptions of us on the ground, but there is a feeling that we are not happy. Those who are driving cars, they feel that car hijacking is running rampant. Also witnesses, they don't feel safe. In many instances, you find that cases have been withdrawn, and the magistrate has said this was due to lack of evidence. But the witnesses are there, but they are intimidated and they are too scared to come forward. So I'm really concerned about the statement that we are doing well as far as trying to make the citizenry feel safe. I'll stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to apologize first. See, when you are at my age, you really make sure that you think you have got authority just to say whatever you want to say at any other time. apologize for that. I will address that later, what I was objecting to and why I objected. And I think it's a small deeper than meets the eye. First of all, I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the department certain things that affect people related to the department. And I think that maybe it is better if I get the email of the DG, that sometimes before I forget these things, when I'm told about them, I send him a brief. The alignment of costs with the municipal boundaries. You see, the municipal boundaries, particularly in the so-called native reserves, the old native reserves, where there were each native commissioner was interested in certain part of the world, of the places, locations, say this must be allocated to me, did not really take care of the distance from that particular so-called municipality today. The good examples are there around Mthatha, where a place called Apamjiga, which is supposed to be in Solo district, which is around 70 kilometers from Seoul. And you drive and pass Mthatha after you've traveled 20 kilometers. And then you travel another 50 kilometers, you're going to stop. You pass the magistrate and go to another magistrate court, it's supposed to be there. Just. And the police that are looking after that have to also pass the other areas to go to that one. So the municipality, where we need to know the history of it. Each native commissioner, which was supposed to be stationed in Tada, allocating itself to native commissioner or native administrative area, decided, now this is a good place for me to administer. And they did not really look at that. Now when you are changing, you need to look into that. Just find out on the ground, people who are making the decision, allocating the cost. Because we still have to go to the so-called towns which were the seats of the native commission. Now, that's why. Coming to second one, it is so important that you try and have a, it may take some time, but if you have a plan for it, taking justice to people, not people to justice. It was a question of arrest the native, bring him to where we are. The police must bring him here, and then the magistrate, then the native commissioner can sentence him. Instead of having the court where people are, or very close to people, they must still come to where the native commissioner was. We've just got history in that, and we need to sort of, when we're making a transformation, look into those things and try and reverse as much as possible. I'll come back to that issue because it's related to something else I'm going to talk about. I understand of the mayor about the constraints. I'm worried why the Department of Treasury is doing this. Whether really we are in trouble. Seriously. Whether something cannot be done. If we have got a lot of people who are very, very rich. Don't know why can't they have a super tax on them? Instead of having the government failing to do its work. It's a very painful thing. Let me give you an example about the master's office in Tata. There's no accommodation there. There is very little or no plan to put accommodation there. There are shortage of accommodation. And then also, the human resource. Let me give you an example. Here, you see, when you are sitting in town, everything is around. A lot of people stay around a small area. But in the rural areas, you sometimes have to travel 100, 200 kilometers to go south. There was a master's assistant in Barak. What services people in Namakwe, Badawe, Sendane, Dujwa, Willowy, which themselves are about 200, sometimes 250 kilometers away from them. Now, you guys said, okay, there is going to be vacancies. And there were interviews. And yet you have not appointed anybody. You freeze them. Now, what does it mean? It means they must now travel to Mtata. Another 80 or 90 kilometers away from, in addition to us, they pass, but I wasn't going.
So I want to explain. I think, DG, it is very, very important, as I said to you, that you will get assistance from us staying in certain areas, watching, assisting you here and there, and say, these are the problems people are facing in this area. I understand that it's a problem, but if you come up with a comprehensive report to us and say, this lack of funds has got this effect on the people, on the ground. When you get to know. I want to come to another thing called the prisons are overcrowded. I was wondering if you could not look into the Minimum Sentence Act and sort of see if something can be done to try and alleviate that. And also I want to tie that with what I call the lack of transformation in our legal system. Strictly speaking, there is very little or no difference between the justice system in England and justice system in South Africa. What is expected, what the people like, when you say, I like what you're saying in strategic goal number 2, people-centered justice services that are accessible, reliable, and efficient. Beautiful English term. First question, who are the people? When you say people, who are you referring to? We have been colonized mainly by the English. Our system of government, in fact, of the courts, are still that. The African values are not regarded as by the system. It is the European values. And this becomes, there is a clash here. And we need to find out, in your transformation, what you do. I want to, first of all, let's take a simple thing. In the African expectation procedural, if somebody wrongs another one, the accused, the expectation of the Africans is that if the families, both families are going to be involved, you know, and this thing, some of the things can be talked over, and there's no need to even to go to court, including murder. This is how this African system has been carried on. European system emphasizes individualism. Arrest the individual, you tell him that you are guilty or not guilty, and put him in prison as an individual. You want to make transformation. I don't know transformation how, which direction. This comes to me, brings me to the question of what I've been dealing with, as my two colleagues have referred to, about the face lady of Zimbabwe. The scenario is like this. Mrs. Mugabe comes into her house in Joburg at 2 a.m. in the morning. And she can go anytime. She finds these two boys with about 2-3 girls sleeping. She is angry and she beats the girls up. It's expected in the Africa.
And other girls ran away, and this one was unfortunate to get a beating. If I find, come into the house of my gal, and I find boys there, in our culture, what beat them up? What do they want there? It's accepted in our space.
Chair, I'm sorry, I find this objectionable. May I raise a point of order?
No.
Chair, I